ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधा श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। श्री राजोवाच ब्रह्मण्यानां वेदान्यायां नित्यं रुद्धोपसेविनां विप्रशापा कथमभूत् वृष्टीनां कृष्णचेतसां ब्रह्मण्यानां वदान्यानां नित्यं रुद्धोपसेविनां विप्रशापकथमभूत् वृष्णीनां कृष्णचेतसां ब्रह्मण्यानां वदान्यानां नित्यं रुद्धोपसेविनां विप्रशापकथमभूत् वृष्णीनां कृष्णचेतसां माताजी।
श्री राजोवाच
Sri Raja Vach, the king said, Brahmanyanam, of them who were respectful to the Brahmanas, Padanyanam, charitable, Nityam, always, Ruddha Upasevinam, engaged in serving elders, Viprashapa, the Brahmanas curse, Katham, how, Abhud, did it come about? Rishnina, of the Rishnis, Krishna Chetasam, whose minds were totally absorbed in thought of Lord Krishna. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. King Parikshit inquired, how could the Brahmanas curse the Rishnis who were always respectful to the Brahmanas, charitable and inclined to serve seniors and exalted personalities, and whose minds were always fully absorbed in thought of Lord Krishna? Purport. Brahmanas generally become angry at persons who disrespect the Brahminical class, who are uncharitable and who decline to serve senior respectable personalities. The Rishnis, however, were not like that, and thus they are described here by King Parikshit as Brahmanyanam, or sincere followers of Brahminical culture. Further, even if the Brahmanas became angry, why would they curse members of Krishna's own family? Since the Brahmanas were well-versed, well-learned, and must have known that it is offensive to oppose personal associates of the Supreme Lord. The Yadu dynasty is specifically described here as Rishninam and Krishna Chetasam. In other words, they were Lord Krishna's own men, and they were always absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Therefore, even if somehow or other the Brahmanas had cursed them, how could that curse have had any effect? These are the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. Although the Rishnis are described here in this verse as Krishna Chetasam, always absorbed in thinking of Krishna, it is clearly indicated that Krishna desired that the Brahmanas become angry and curse the Yadu dynasty. The Supreme Lord desired to remove His personal dynasty from the earth, and therefore uncustomary offensive behavior was exhibited by the young boys of Krishna's own family. It is to be understood from this incident that when a man displays envy and ridicule of devotees of Lord Vishnu, his Brahmanyata and or high spiritual qualifications, along with his reverence for Sri Krishna, are all destroyed. Contempt and ridicule directed toward respectable persons and true Brahmanas vanquish all good qualities. If there is a break of etiquette toward his devotees, the Supreme Lord will become ill-disposed even to his own relatives and friends, and thus arrange to destroy those who oppose his devotees. If foolish persons in the guise of members of Krishna's personal family express enmity toward Vaishnavas, such offenders cannot properly be called offsprings of Lord Krishna's dynasty. That is the supreme equality of the personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, having completed the 10th canto, which is the Samam Bonam, the very attractive qualities and wonderful pastimes of Krishna, so now we are heading towards 11th canto. And in this 11th canto, now disappearance of Yadava dynasty has been described. And apart from that, also Uddhava Gita, Krishna personally explains. So in essence, this is a very sobering message, message given by the Supreme Lord, that how he cannot tolerate the offenses toward his own devotees. And in today's verse, Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question, that how is it possible that these respectful, these Rishnis who are very respectful towards Brahminical culture, and they are very charitable, and they are Rujyateshatam, that means they were inclined to serve the senior and respectable personalities. And on top of that, they were Krishna Chetasa. They were always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. How is it possible for such Yadus to be cursed by these Brahmanas? So that goes to show that these Brahmanas were acting under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, that would not have been possible. Just like in our drama festival, every year the devotees conduct drama festivals here. It all goes in the direction of the director, whoever is directing those dramas. So there will be some devotees who will be selected as heroes, and somebody has to become villain, is it not? Somebody has to take up the part of a villain. Somebody has to become bad guy. And it is a thankless task actually. Someone has to take up the part of a Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha on the order of the director. Similarly here, the Vrishnis, Krishna's own men, his own sons, they are acting in a very uncustomary way. Otherwise they wouldn't do that. That the verse itself says that they were very respectful towards the Brahmanas and inclined towards serving the seniors. And such people are today acting in a very uncustomary way. It is unheard of that they are trying to disrespect the Brahmanas, and in turn the Brahmanas are trying to curse them. So thus it is very clearly indicated in the purport that it was Krishna's own desire that these Yadus have to be winded up their pastime, and they have to go back to the spiritual world. So we see in Srimad Bhagavatam there are such cursing episodes are happening. The first and foremost, the Bhagavatam itself starts with the cursing by Sringi to Parikshit Maharaj. And here is Sringi, who is a foolish Brahmana boy, and he is trying to curse a pure devotee like Parikshit Maharaj. And the result is that Parikshit went back to Godhead and Kali entered. Kali came in just because this foolish Brahmana, he cursed great devotee like Parikshit. And also Gandhari, she cursed Krishna. That is how it goes back. her all 100 sons were killed, and she was so much overcome with grief that she dared to curse even Krishna. And what happened? And all the Yadus, they had to leave this world, and along with Krishna himself. And this is between a foolish person and a pure devotee. When a foolish person like Sringi, he curses a devotee like Parikshit, this is the result. And when two pure devotees, they come together, let us say Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami, they come together, and then what happens? Then there is Krishna Katha. Result is Krishna Katha. The Bhagavatam is descending directly. And there are many such episodes like Vidura, Maitreya coming together and they are discussing Krishna Katha. Swayambhuva Manu, Kardam Muni, and many such episodes wherein devotees, when they come together and they discuss Krishna, and then wonderful pastimes are discussed. And thirdly, when pure devotees, when they curse foolish people, as in today's case also. Also there are examples like Narada cursing Manigriva and Nalakuvera. And Agastya Muni cursing Indradyumna Maharaj. So result is when Narada cursed Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they became the Arjuna trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and they could witness the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And Agastya Muni cursed Indradyumna Maharaj. Eventually he became Gajendra, and he got the mercy of the Lord, and he went back to Godhead. So when a pure devotee like these devotees, when they curse foolish people, it results in their benefit only, actually. And in today's case, Brahmanas, they are cursing the Yadus. And what the result is? All the Yadus along with Lord Krishna, they are all going back to Godhead actually. Because they are trying to wind up their pastimes. So such events are taking place in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can see these events through from the point of view of Tattva and from the point of view of Rasa. So from Tattva point of view, when we see that such cursings are happening, then there are many lessons to be learned. We can understand what all we can learn from these lessons. And actually it is a leela in one sense. It is how we can understand how Krishna is trying to deal with his own devotees. And that also is very much evident here. So from tattva we can understand what we should avoid and what should accept. And from leela point of view, we can just enjoy the pastimes. And there are three reasons in the previous purports it is described. At least there are three reasons why this pastime is taking place. It is said that Yadus or Yadavas, they were becoming contemptuous towards Lord Krishna. Because they were seeing Krishna every single day. So therefore it is said that familiarity breed contempt. Ati parichaya avagyat. Malaye bhilla purandari chandanam kashta indanam kurute chandanam. So it is said that in the area of Malaya hills, a forest dweller lady, she used to go for, you know, fetching firewood. And because there are all she could find is that of those of sandalwood trees, and she would chop off those wooden chunks of chandan or sandalwood, and she would bring home. And because that is what is abundantly available there, and she is using it as a firewood. Sandalwood is being used as firewood. Therefore, it is a chandanam when it becomes indhanam. So then what is the result? Result is that at most she may get some fragrant eatables, whatever she is cooking. That's all. But that is not the purpose of actual chandan. Because that which becomes comes very easily, found very easily, that is taken as, you know, taken for granted. So that is what was happening with the Yadus, because they were associating with Krishna on daily basis. So therefore they ended up taking Krishna one of them, and they started becoming inimical towards Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains in one of his purports. And secondly, actually these Yadus, just now in today's verse also we saw that they were Krishna Chitasa. That means they were too much attached to Krishna. They were always thinking about Krishna. And when Krishna saw them, how much they were attracted to him and attached to him. So he understood that these, first I have to send them. If I go personally first before them, then they won't be able to tolerate my, not having been here. So therefore, Krishna thought, let us send them first. So therefore Krishna, he planned out this wonderful episode that they should go from this earth first. Otherwise, they would create havoc, because they were very much attracted to Krishna. And if Krishna is not present, then they would become highly agitated and they would create a havoc. That was second reason given. And also, Krishna wanted to drive home the point. Nothing in this world is permanent. Nothing. Including Krishna's family and Krishna's own personal presence is also not permanent. Because the material world is designed like that. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So nothing is permanent. Oh, Shashvatam, nothing is permanent. So therefore, once in Pune Yatra, one question was asked. To Jayadeva Maharaj. So Maharaj, is it that every wonderful thing, it has to come to an end? Even if it is like a spiritual institution like any other institution or even ISKCON. Then actually Maharaj gave that answer, yes. Everything, whatever it may be, even if it is a wonderful spiritual organization, it has to come to an end. But then he sobered up. He said, we should not become part of it. We should not become the part of ending something that is wonderful. So, but here, the Brahmanas, actually they are acting under the direction of Krishna. They are trying to end that which is so glorious. The Krishna's own family, along with Krishna himself, they are trying to end the pastimes. Of course, under the direction of Krishna. So, these are the three reasons which are given. Therefore, the message is very clear and bold and very loud. And what is that message Krishna wants to give? That he will never tolerate the offenses towards his devotees, no matter who one is. So we see the example in Bhagavatam itself. Lord Varahadeva, when he impregnated Mother Earth, then came Bhauma, the son of Varaha, and Bhumi Devi, known as Bhauma. And he is Krishna's own son, and Varaha's own son. But then he started associating with Banasura, actually. And then what happens? He is known as Narakasura. Bhaumasura or Narakasura are one and same. And then he was creating such havoc and creating so much offenses to his own devotees. Then Krishna personally had to come down and kill him. Although he is his own son. And in contrary to that, he actually saved the son of a demon, Prahlad Maharaj. His son became a demon and he was killed. And the son of a demon, Prahlad Maharaj, was saved. So ultimately, who is dear to Krishna? Not the family members. Of course, family members are dear to Krishna, but provided if they are proper devotees, they are not offending other Vaishnavas. Otherwise, Krishna is willing to wipe out his own family members, as in this case. Also we see that how Bhaumasura was killed. So actually Krishna doesn't have any soft corners for his own family members. That we see in this world. People, those who are not very highly spiritual or such people, they have their soft corners, their family members, no matter who the family members are, how they are acting. And just because they are their family members, they don't mind, you know, seeing even if there are some offensive behaviors. Because they are too much attached to them on the bodily platform, because they have soft corners. But here in Krishna's case, we are seeing, he is willing to wipe out his own dynasty. Just because they were offensive to his own devotees. And that is how much Krishna's, you know, equality and the purport sent with that. This is supreme equality of the personality of Godhead, that he is willing to take up such a bold step. So therefore, Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Nemam virincho nabhavo, na shrir api angasam shriya, prasada levire gopi yatyat prapa vimuktidat. That means it is said that neither Brahma, Lord Shiva, or even Mother Lakshmi are very dear to Krishna compared to Mother Yashoda, because she was willing to serve Krishna in every possible way. So therefore, although Mother Lakshmi is his own consort, Brahma is his own son, Shiva is actually his grandson because Shiva comes from Brahma. Krishna says that compared to my devotee, I don't care for my family members. And also, in Uddhava Gita again, there is a verse saying that how Krishna loves his devotee. He is telling Uddhava, I love devotees like you, Uddhava. I can't even compare that love with my family members. He says about Balaram, Sankarsana, and Sri Lakshmi, and Bhava, that is Shiva, and Virinchi, that is Brahma. So brother is there, Balaramji, wife, Mother Lakshmi, son is Brahma, and grandson is Lord Shiva. Okay. So all four of them, all they are very immediate family members, but Krishna is not caring for them so much. But he gives himself to a devotee. A pure devotee like Uddhava, he is telling to Uddhava directly. So that is how Krishna's non-partiality is. So therefore, the message is very bold that Krishna loves his devotees and he cannot tolerate the offenses to Vaishnavas. Therefore, Shri Jiva Goswami, once our Gaur Gopal Prabhu was mentioning in his lecture, that he was quoting Jiva Goswami, he said that if one commits 100 offenses to devotees, what happens? Then one loses the taste for the holy name. He will lose taste for the holy name when he commits 100 offenses. And then those offenses, they go forward. That means if he commits 1,000 offenses, then what happens? One cannot follow four regulative principles. And further, if one commits 10,000 offenses, then what happens? He will fall down. That means he will give up the process of Krishna consciousness altogether and he will fall down. So such are seriousness of these offenses. And therefore, again, Jiva Goswami said that how one should overcome them. That means we have to chant attentively and deal with Krishna's devotees very attentively. Attentive dealings and attentive chanting brings about love of God. So therefore, it is said that prasadam purifies senses, holy name purifies our mind. And Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna Katha purifies one's intelligence. But the devotees are those people who will purify our false ego. So all the three are Krishna personally coming forward to clean our senses in the form of prasadam. He comes in the form of holy name to clean our mind, Chetodarpanam Arjunam. And he comes in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam to purify our intelligence. But then Krishna gives the serious job, not to himself, he gives it to his own devotees. To purify one's own false ego. So that job is given to the devotees of the Lord. So the devotees on behalf of the Lord, they come in our lives, they purify the utmost, the most important thing. Not the senses, not the mind, not the intelligence. They are important. They had to be purified. But even more than that is to purify one's own false ego. And that task is given to the devotees of the Lord. And that is how Krishna has placed it. So therefore, it is to be understood that this false ego is the biggest obstacle. And in order to purify that, when the devotees come in our lives and they help us to purify our false ego, and then that is the time to understand that it is Krishna's personal intervention to purify us. Unless we purify our false ego, there is no question of developing pure love of God, because that is the biggest obstacle. So therefore Lord Chaitanya also said that Naham Mipuro Nachanarapatir Napi Vaishyana Shudra Naham Varnina Chagapatis Manastvaitirva Kintu Prodhyan Nikhila Paramananda Purnamrutabdir Gopir Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa 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 Anadas. That means he is saying that I am not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, not Brahmana, Kshatriya, Sannyasi, all of those things. Varna and Ashram, he is not identifying with any of these 4 plus 4, 8. Then he is identifying himself as a servant of the Supreme Lord's devotees. That means what? When one purifies one's false ego thoroughly, then he comes to this platform. Unless until that point we come, so we keep identifying ourselves with these varnas and ashramas. Of course, initially that is very, very essential. But we understand that we need to also come to the highest platform of acting on the platform of only the servant of the devotees of the Lord. So therefore, the Yadus are leaving, and then Krishna leaves. First Yadus, they go away, and then Krishna gives Uddhava Gita, then Krishna personally leaves. And this is a message Krishna wants to give. What is that message? That this offenses to Vaishnavas are highly intolerable for him. So therefore, this is the sobering message Krishna is giving before he goes away. No? A person, throughout the life he leads his life in whatever way, but the end of the life, whatever activity he does, whether he speaks, we hear that how Ajayamala chanted the name of Narayana at the time of death. That is considered, very important in his life. Because whatever he did throughout his life, that is not very important. What he did at the end of his life, he chanted the holy names. Therefore, that is considered as very, very important. Of course, Krishna's pastimes are wonderful. Whatever he did is important throughout his life. But the most important message he is giving before he leaves this world, and that how one should respectfully deal with his own devotees. He should not, we need not offend his own devotees. And same thing we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada. he established Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. He wrote more than 40 volumes of Vedic literatures, and millions of such books were distributed all over the world. He started farm communities. He initiated thousands of disciples. Such unfathomable, wonderful services he rendered to Krishna. But that at the time of leaving, he was expressing his desire. He said that, if you love me, then cooperate with others. Because that is the biggest challenge in Kali Yuga, to cooperate with others. Because the Kali is there. What is the main symptoms of Kali? That quarrel and hypocrisy. As Govind Prabhu says that, if we are with the devotees, then we will quarrel. Then if we are alone, then there is a hypocrisy. When we come together amongst other Vaishnavas, there may be a chances of a quarrel. But that doesn't mean, okay, then because I come, as soon as I come and teach with devotees, then I may start quarreling. So let us not come together. But that is not the proposal given. So one has to come in the association of devotees and get purify himself of the false ego. And at the same time, one should cooperate. That is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. Therefore, he openly expressed his desire, saying that, please cooperate. Please cooperate. So, Prabhupada is also giving the very important message before he leaves. And often he would say that this Krishna consciousness movement is very powerful. Nobody can come in to destroy this. And if something happens to ISKCON, that is through the ISKCON members only. Not that outsider will come and do something to the movement of Krishna consciousness. So just like Yadavas, they were so powerful that nobody was there to, you know, check them. So because they are powerful Kshatriyas, Kshatriya doesn't want to live on a deathbed, his body. And he will take great pleasure to fight in the battlefield and then leave. So therefore Krishna arranged for it. So therefore we see that Yadavas fought amongst themselves and then they leave this material world. So similarly, of course it is not at all, God forbid, but then the essence is that the members of ISKCON, as long as we are united, then there is no harm. Otherwise, you know, as Prabhupada also indicated at times that when devotees, they are not in cooperation with each other, then many things will happen. So therefore, this Vaishnava etiquette is very, very essential. Srila Sanatan Goswami has told by Lord Chaitanya, that how a devotee becomes beautiful in the eyes of Krishna. Of course, we have to wear the attire of a Vaishnava and all of that. But more important than that is to follow the Vaishnava etiquette. Lord Chaitanya told him that when a devotee follows Vaishnava etiquette, then he will become truly beautiful in the eyes of Krishna. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya personally, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he says that, Bahutuli jagatere bale gauradhama, anindakahai sabe bale krishna nama. Lord Chaitanya says that, raising his arms, he said that, do not criticize Vaishnavas, but chant Hare Krishna. Then he says, Anindaka hai ye sakrit Krishna bale, satya satya muhitare uddhari bahele. Then he says that if one is free from blasphemy of Vaishnavas and then chants Krishna's name, Lord Chaitanya said, I'll personally deliver that person without fail. And the most important, sakrit Krishna nama bale. Sakrit Krishna nama. Even chanting once, sakrad means Even once when we chant Hare Krishna properly, but at the same time, what should be that other condition? Anindaka. In both the verses, this word is coming. Anindaka. Anindaka is somebody who is not criticizing others. So Lord Chaitanya wants us to become Anindaka and then chant Hare Krishna. Then it will give the desired benefit. So always there are do's and don'ts in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? That which is favorable and that which is unfavorable. And Lord Chaitanya is very clearly indicating that what is favorable is to chant Hare Krishna and what is unfavorable is to give up the mentality of criticizing devotees. And then we do these two important essential duties. Then of course there is a guarantee of Krishna's mercy descending down in our lives. So therefore also it is said in Upadeshamrita, Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Siddhapya Vidya Pittopatapta Rasanasyana Rojikanu Kintvadarad Anudinad Khalusaiva Jushta Sadhit Kramad Bhavati Tadgata Moolahantri. So it is said that Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapi Avidya. So Krishna's name, Krishna's pastime, Krishna's personality, Krishna's anything connected with Krishna is as sweet as sugar candy. But when we chant Hare Krishna, so we hardly relish the holy name. What is that? What is the problem? The problem is on the tongue. It is said that when the tongue is infested with the jaundice, then it cannot relish the holy name. Kintu adara danudinat khalu saiva jushta. So, but every day without fail and adarat, without committing offenses to the holy name and the Vaishnavas, when we chant the holy names, then there is a desired effect, we can see that. Khalu saiva jushta swadit kramad bhavati tadgada moolahantri. And then the holy name is so powerful, it will take away all the anarthas from the root. So therefore, this is very essential to know that adarad and anudinat. Adara refers to having a respectful mentality towards the holy name, of course, and also to the Vaishnavas. So therefore we chant this 10 offenses early in the morning before we start our chanting. No, but as a matter of routine, every day we chant, you know, all those 10 offenses, and then we start our chanting of Hare Krishna. But then the essential thing is to know that what exactly are we chanting? What exactly are we saying? These 10 offenses, we are speaking it out very loud, but at the same time when we contemplate on it, the first and foremost is to, you know, avoid the criticizing devotees. That is the number one. So therefore, when we take up these essential regulative principles of Krishna consciousness in a very serious manner and lead our lives in devotion to Krishna, then of course there is a great chance of achieving Krishna's mercy. And when we do that, then we can perfect our lives. So therefore, this tongue is a very essential an organ of human being, human body. I mean, if you look at a person, you don't even see the tongue. It is there somewhere within. And the tongue has, you know, we have heard this many a times, that it has two functions. One is to relish something and then to speak out something. In order to relish, we have to take prasadam, and then when we have to speak out, then it should be something beneficial to one's own self. In the sense that we should be able to chant the holy names and glorify Krishna and Krishna's devotees. When we do that, then there is a perfection of utilization of this tongue. Therefore, although tongue is a very not a visible all the time, but that is a very important organ which actually directs our spiritual life. Therefore, in many places it is said that how our tongue is very in fact in one of our the poet in South India, he speaks about this tongue, that this tongue is so voracious and uncontrollable, it speaks anything and everything towards, in case if it is criticizing. So therefore one needs to control it thoroughly and then direct it to glorify Krishna and Krishna's holy names. And when we do that, then we can get the maximum out of it. The proper utilization of the tongue is to relish Krishna Prasadam and at the same time glorify Krishna and Krishna devotees. So therefore, when we take up these important lessons very seriously in our lives, and then of course we can expect that mercy which is long waiting, and perfect our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Thai Gaur Premanandi.